I'd like to look at a few verses in Matthew. Thirteenth chapter. Twenty-fourth verse starts another parable. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seeds in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I'd like to kind of present this thought to our minds, a warning, if you will, a caution that we live in a time of much commotion and activity, and we live in a time of spiritual lethargy. There's a lot going on in the world, but it's dumbing to the spiritual man. Any time you have a lot of physical, a lot of things, you can have a tendency to have a spiritual letdown. And I want to present this to our minds that we be careful that we keep our spiritual lives and that we fight for our spiritual lives. This scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sows seed in his field. Here's the scenario. The Lord is that man. No doubt about it. God's the one that sows the seeds. Jesus plants the seeds in his field with the expectation of all that his seed would produce. And there's an enemy in this parable. There's an enemy. And you and I face that enemy all the time. And we have God-given ability and power as the church to resist him. Greater is he in you than he's in the world. You don't have to listen to this guy. We also have a scripture that teaches us that if we submit our ways to the Lord, we submit to, you know, commit your ways to the Lord, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's powerful. The enemy that comes and tries to do things in our life, we have authority to send him on his way. I'm talking to God, I'm talking God's people. Right? We have that authority, we have that privilege, we have that duty, we have that responsibility. We also can go to sleep. Now in this scenario, he couldn't contend with the man that sowed it. Right? If he could have contended with him, the enemy would have come up to his face and said, you sowed in the field, I'll sow in the field too. But that's not the way it's written. It was written is that the man sows in his field and then while men slept. These men, if you allow me to do this, men's of responsibility. We all are in a place of responsibility. This could take in pastors. This could take in ministers at large. This could take in parents. This could take in Sunday school teachers. This can take in the whole realms. But while men slept, the enemy came in and he sowed tares in the field. He's putting something foreign into the field. But my message today is while men slept. This is what we want to avoid. While men slept. Because we do live in a time that it's very easy. Let's look at it this way. Thank the Lord for the good food that we just had. If you're hungry right now, it's your own fault. There was plenty. I had plenty. And I come back in. And I got down. Not purpose, folks. Listen to me. I didn't do this on purpose, but I had to shake myself twice during prayer because I was getting sleepy. Anybody else getting sleepy this afternoon? Well, you prayed though. If I was praying, maybe you'd have it. But it is, hey, listen, it's natural to sleep. Right? It's natural to sleep. The purpose of this is the idea that there is something that we ought to contend with. That we ought to make sure that we don't fall asleep. Listen, we're going to fall asleep naturally. It's not what we're worried about. I pretty easy can take a nap this afternoon. That's not a concern. It's a natural part of what the body needs to rejuvenate itself. But spiritually, folks, we can't afford to go to sleep. We just can't afford to go to sleep. We can't afford to have an idea that everything's going to just be okay without me doing anything, putting any effort into it, striving to find out, doing anything at all. I can't afford to just have that kind of attitude that it's all going to go along by itself and it'll be all right in the end of it. I can't afford to go asleep and let the devil come in and interject things into my life. Is anybody in here willing to tell me that you're beyond that, that you're beyond the fact that you could fall? I mean, is there anybody in here that thinks you got a spiritual life so secured, so tight, that in there that you don't need any kind of spiritual help or any kind of thing from the Lord to keep you? I don't think anybody would dare it. But even if you're thinking it and wouldn't dare it, I want you to understand that you can. The scripture says, for them that thinketh they stand. Talking about spiritual people. You have to realize that they that think they're stand isn't the one that comes in off the street that just got saved. This isn't the one that just got saved. This is people that had their prayers answered. That saw the glory of God. That saw great miracles performed. That think if they stand because they got a God that stands there and they think if they stand, take heed. Always take heed. Always be awake. Always be alert to know that there's one going to sow in your heart if he can. He's going to sow some discord in your heart if he can. And it's a very little thing. When you sow seeds, you make it very small. And what he did in this scenario, he made it as much like the truth as he could. Right? He sowed something that looked as much like the truth so that you wouldn't care so much about what's truth and error because it's pretty similar. It's not, it takes something very diligent, very, very mindful to understand that this is the difference in this. This is not going to bear fruit at the end of it. This is going to be a worthless blade. It's not going to have anything useful on it when it gets mature. I'm going to spend my life's energy, my time, my effort growing something that isn't worth anything. And it's a colossal waste at the end of it. And it takes up space that should have been inhabited by the truth. So beware. Take heed to this. That while men slept, the enemy comes in and interjects things into our life. Our idea is we ought to be alert and aware. In this time that we live in, it's so irrelevant around that people are religious. Well, good for religion. But religion can be tares. Do you understand what I'm saying? Religion can be tares. It can be something that looks like something that doesn't have the real thing in it. It doesn't have the real, the devil, you know, the devil doesn't mind religion. He's religious. He believes in God. He's religious. He don't mind services. God will go, the devil will go to service with you. The devil don't mind religion. He don't mind people getting up and oh, praise God. He don't mind people doing that, all that. The devil don't mind that. The devil actually wants to plant stuff like that so people can go away with adulteries and fornications and lying and cheating in their heart and all these things and go away feeling justified because I was in a wonderful service. But it's a facade. It's not real. You know, the devil planted that. The Lord planted wholesomeness seeds. He planted truth. He planted a real heart's experience, but the devil comes along and plants religion. He plants something in our hearts that isn't right and true, and it's up to us to guard that in our lives. And we live in a time, as I say, that there's so much spiritual lethargy going on. People talk I don't want to be too specific, but this, Lord help me here. I keep up with politics. They like to bring in the name of God if it'll get them votes. And interject some religious concept somewhere and are the foulest mouthed people, foulest acting people, foulest of mind and heart. That are extortion. They take extortion bribes. They take money. They do all this stuff, and yet they'll invoke God into something. All of them, God interjected in it. Lord, help us that we don't fall into the idea that that's a tear. We have responsibilities today to the next generation, because they're going to have to deal with the stuff that's sown in our watch. The devil's trying to sow stuff now that we'll accept that our children will have to eat. And it's our responsibility, because if I accept that and it tears in my life, if I fall asleep spiritually and don't discern the times, Lord, help us to have a discerning spirit to be able to look and see, yeah, this thing looks all right. It might smell all right, this, but is it all right? Lord, help me to be able to discern the time that I'm in and that if this thing goes to its fruition, what will it be? What will it be when it grows up? I remember Brother Jim telling a story of an old farmer over there that looked down and he raised chickens. He had a chicken farm, and he looked down and he saw these little foxes playing. They were such cute little pups. They was out of their den and they was playing and wrestling. And the guy pulls up his gun and shoots them. Someone went and says, why did you, poor little, why did you do that? And they said, because they grow up. I shot him because I'm a chicken farm, and they grow up and they're cute and fuzzy now. The devil likes to bring cute, fuzzy things to us that don't have sharp teeth. They don't bite hard now. But the intention is that sometime in the future, they're going to be troublesome to us. There's a scripture in the Bible about In the days of Joshua, I think it was, there was some people that looked at Joshua and the armies of Israel and the power of God, and they saw Jericho. They heard the stories of Jericho falling and knew that the armies of Israel was on a march and was unstoppable. And they looked and said, they're going to destroy us too. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's go and get us some moldy bread and get us some old shoes and some old clothes, and we'll go unto them and we'll say to them, we're from a distant land somewhere and we want to make a league with you. So they did that. They come in and they said, you live right around us. We don't. We live in a far, far country. We come a long, long journey. No, you live around. No, we don't. Look at our bread. This was baked the day we left and it's moldy now. Look at our shoes. Our shoes are worn plumb. These were new shoes when we left. And then you know what they did? They made a vow before the Lord, an oath to the Lord, to them, and took them in. And then they found out that they was a part of the land that they come in. And what that scripture says, you look it up because I don't remember where it's at, but I know one phrase that it says in it, that they sought not the Lord. They didn't ask the Lord. They didn't ask the Lord about whether that moldy bread was born. They didn't ask the Lord about to discern these people. Who are these people? That's a thorn to them the rest of their days there. They brought in something. That's a thorn right there. That's something that their children is going to have to deal with, and their children's children. Oh, because they made an oath that they would not touch them. They made an oath to God. They couldn't go against their oath to God. And so now we took in something that we should never have took in because they couldn't discern the time. They fell asleep. I don't assume to know everything, but I can know enough to be cautious. I can know enough to know that I can ask the Lord. I can know enough to know the Lord knows about all these kind of things. Because if we don't do it, folks, we're going to be in this kind of time, and the devil's going to sow things into our life. And one of these days, we're going to look around and say, how did we get here? What was the slippery slope that we started on? Where was the seed originally planted? I don't even know what night he come in on. You know, that's why this kind of reads. When did he sow? He come in while they slept. So I know he come in the night. He snuck in. It wasn't something that you would accept knowing. It was something that he brought in sneaking. And he plants it in there as it's an acceptable idea. It's acceptable. It's okay. You can accept this in this. It's okay to do it. And nobody's paying enough attention to say, wait a minute. What's the fruit of that? My favorite definition of wisdom is the ability to see the results of an action. Simple. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will bring a man to poverty. That's very simple. You know what the results of an action is. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to look and say, if I let this thing grow up, this is going to be the results of it growing up. We may look at things some way right now and say, this is going to be a benefit to us or this is something good, but will it bring a closer marriage? Will it bring a closer congregation? Will it make a more spiritual idea? It's something we ought to consider as we look into those kind of things. I want to look at another scripture. Scripture I used this last Sunday at home. It's in Proverbs 14 and 15. It says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. It says, a prudent man is careful. He looks well to his going. A simple man, it says, believeth anything. I just take it in. But a prudent man will say, what is this going to do? Walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The idea that I used to think of meant walking in a circle. You can look at it that way, looking at an object. But really, we never want to walk in circles. It means you walk straight looking around in circles. That's really what it means. You're walking straight, but you're looking around everywhere, even behind you, to see where is the enemy coming in on me at? Where is the problem going to be? We walk circumspectly, not walking circles. We walking looking circly. Always watching to see, is this going to affect my life? I want to go to heaven. I want to be successful. And on this hand, I've got this thing coming. Is this acceptable? I've got to make a decision about this. Is this something acceptable for me in my home? Is this something acceptable? I've got to make a decision. Is this acceptable? Is over here something else? Is this okay? There's times that we've said, my wife can tell you this too, we've said, well, we'll see about this, and we get over there, and a little bit we say, you just went too far. You went beyond the guidelines that we set for our own selves, because if we step over that line, we know what that's going to do. And we're not willing to accept that. And we say no to that, and you come back and you do that, and you walk circumspectly looking at the issues of this. I know the scripture says that we should the assembling of ourselves. What's that term? Huh? We should forsake the assembling of ourselves. That doesn't say you have to be in service every time the doors are open. It doesn't. No matter what some preachers say, it doesn't say that. But it says something. It says something. And it says that you ought to have in your heart the idea that you want to go. Don't forsake the idea of that. So we're going to have to make a guideline somewhere. I'm going to tell you better make a good one. Because it is valuable to you, or it's a detriment to you, to have that kind of an idea in your mind of what the value of God's things are. You better highly appreciate God's things. God, it was not mortal man that set up the idea of meeting together on the Lord's Day. Jesus instituted it, and it's God's work. So we ought to say, how much do we appreciate what God done and put a value to that? Because I'm going to tell you what the devil wants to try to do. He's going to try to say that boating on the lake is better than being in service. Or he's going to be trying to say going to this is going to be better or going to that. I ain't in every service either. But I'm telling you, you better put a value on your service to the Lord. You better put a value on it. Something that's meaningful about that. Lord help us. Because what will happen is the enemy, see, is going to sow tares. And you know what? Once the tares are sowed, I'm not going to make the analogies the rest of that scripture does, but I'm going to say this. Once we get a notion in our mind and a set thing in our heart, it's almost impossible to get it out. It's better not to get it in there than to get it in there and try to get it out. You about can't do it. Once it sets in an ocean, I've seen some of the most ridiculous, heard some of the most ridiculous statements coming from what seemed to be honest, square people saying the most ridiculous things because they had something they wanted to do. And we'll set in there to do it and say that is not right, that is wrong, that will hurt you, that will be damaging. And it's already set. That's why the scripture in Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it is the issues of life. That's where it's all going to come from. The very issues of our lives come from our heart. So you better keep your heart. I know very, very well what that means. Keep your heart with all diligence. Some of the simplest things in life can interfere with that. I run into it on the springs. I'll tell you this. I know this. I know what people go through sometimes. I like to garden. I like to see things raised. I raised a big garden this year. I got into it, especially. I love to do it. I do that. And then there comes a time to where I have to, just this meeting, I'm telling you, it's time to go. The Lord's saying, all right, time to go. I've got a consecration. Lord, I'll go when you want me to go. And all of a sudden, folks, my tomatoes are ripening right now. I got a big patch of peaches and cream sweet corn. We picked the first 5 ears and eat them yesterday. Or the day before. They're ripening. It's there. It's time to get it. And I'm going to Wisconsin to the tent meeting. That's right. Because corn can come and go. But what's really important? I'd hate for my children to think that sweet corn is more important than the work of the Lord. I just hate for them to well, if I tell them that through the actions of my life, that's what they're going to get. I do have a passion for that, but every time I've got to reconsecrate myself and say, Lord, okay, let it grow, let it go, till it ends, do it again, whatever. I've got to watch out for my soul. Keep the heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. It's okay to love God's creation. It's okay to hunt the fish, to do activities, to live in God's world, but you can't put your heart on it above God. You just better keep your heart. You better keep your heart. I have a good way to bounce back on it too, because I can always say, well, Lord, you didn't have to even let it grow if you didn't want to. I mean, it is God that gives the ability to grow or not to grow, and so it's God. And so it's easy enough for me to say, I really don't think I'm going to lose anything. It'll be there when I get back. What ain't rotted, it'll be fine. But my mind is, my heart is it's time. I want to be a part of this. I mean, it's Lord, have your way in life. Keep your heart with all diligence. That is such a trivial idea. Then what happens when it's bigger things? What happens when a young guy gets his heart on a young girl, but it ain't the right young girl, and he gets his heart on the young girl, and his heart's on the young girl? I mean, his heart's on the young girl. It's not like, that's why the saints have always heard, don't get your heart on there until you do it in a progression of prayer, and make sure, and get into a way that it's okay, because if you get your heart on it, she's gonna be right no matter what happens. You can counsel with the most spiritual people and go to your pastor and do all that, and it won't make a bit of difference if your heart's on there. Lord, help us. Keep your heart with all diligence. Get your mind and heart and your life in something that you want to do, that you love to do, and you'll want to do it. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. He looks well to his going. I want to read what I believe Adam Clark said about that. He said, prudent man, he trusts not in himself. He knows he could be deceived by his own wants. The prudent man knows that he could be deceived by his own wants. When you are discussing with somebody about any issue, you can determine where they stand on the issue simply by what they want. You can tell by what they want by what they say. The wants is very important. Very important. There was a guy who wrote me a letter one time, or he wrote a letter one time, and he gave it to me in service. And I wasn't at home. I was in a revival meeting. He gave me this and said, I'd like for you to read that. And he said, if you would like to, I'd like to take you out to dinner tomorrow and discuss it. So I read the letter. Next day, took you out to eat, and we're eating. And so all of a sudden he says, well, so what do you think of the letter I gave you? And it wasn't signed. It was just an article type thing. And I said, well, the first question that I would have is, who wrote the letter? Who wrote it? Well, he kind of, I did. Now, this is somebody that I didn't know until that time. That's the first time I met him. Yeah, he said, I did. I said, okay, that's good. I said, the second thing I'd have to say is that are you remarried or do you want to be? And he said, I want to be. Well, how did I know that? It was easy to conclude his foolish arguments with scripture what he wanted. He wanted something and he was trying to make it to get there. You better watch your wants. Because while you're sleeping, not paying attention to spiritual things, the devil's going to plant something in there in those wants, and you're going to follow your wants to the grave. And you will argue you want because you want it bad enough that this means something in my life. Lord, help us to be honest people all the way through. Lord, help me to be honest even to my hurt. Lord, give me the truth. Let me have the truth about this, not just what I want. But that I would be in a place that, listen. I know this to be true, and Lord help me, and Lord help others. But you can have a certain way and standard of life that you really believe in, and you're willing to do it for yourself. And I've seen this over and over and over, and people change when they get older and their children get up to the age that they have to perform the same duties, and they begin changing the duties that they have to do because they're making a way for their children. You're not doing your children any favors by changing the truth. It isn't. It's letting the devil sow something into their lives that's not going to work for them. Sometimes there's just hard things that they have to do. Lord, help us not to sacrifice the truth because of our wants, but to maintain the truth and live it and want it and desire it and say, Lord, of course I want this, but maybe you would want something else. There's two different philosophies. I'm not going to argue which one of them. Brother Salmon used to say, if you want to go to Monarch, he said, I don't say you ought to borrow money, but you have to borrow to go to Monarch, go. And he said, I feel like it's the Lord's will. If you want to go to Monarch, you tell the guard case, that's why his passion was it. Brother Jim said, I don't do anything without prayer. I don't go anywhere without I pray it first. I like Brother Jim's solution better. Because there's a safety in things that my human mind says is that there's a spiritual experience going on and I want to be a part of it. And I got a right to want that. But the other side of me says that God is bigger than those things and there could be something dangerous to me at that time that God can keep me from. Don't go to sleep. But don't go to sleep spiritually now. Our spiritual life depends on the relationship that we have with Jesus, right? Personal relationship every day, being in contact with the Lord is our safety net. That's our safety against the devil. We can't defend ourselves against the devil. It's Jesus that defends us against the devil. We don't have no experience there other than that. So we can't go to sleep on the Lord now. Let's stay awake. Now we live in a time of technology. We live in a time of the potential of having things evil, very evil, and ideas fingertips. Fingertip stuff. When I was a young lad growing up, you had to make great effort to do the same kind of evils. It cost money and effort and time that most didn't have to go and do the kind of things that you can do in a moment now. Folks, you're foolish to go asleep on that. Don't just say that it's technology and we're just going to have it and do that. You better put the safeguards in your life and in your family's life. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your life if you don't do it. Don't go to sleep on it. The devil's going to sow that into their hearts. Don't let them sow it in their hearts. You understand what I'm saying? Do what we can to keep the devil from sowing that into our family's life. Because it said, while men slept. What men? Fathers. It goes on as mothers. Well, that's not men, but you know what I'm talking about. This is a widespread thing. It's talking about responsibilities now. pastors, preachers, Sunday school teachers. He's talking about moms and dads and grandmas and peoples of authority. Don't go to sleep and let the devil sow tares. Stand up against bad things. Stand up against bad things. I ain't saying the internet's bad. I use it about getting parts and doing all this and that. But you better be careful with that thing. Because you can get into stuff so fast, so quickly, and then you have to determine at what rate will you do that, because there is so much entertainment out there. There is so much mixed in the tares and the good, and this group sings this song, and we adapt that song into our own services, and it's a good song, and it has great words, and we introduce it, and the Lord bless us, it's fine. But everything that glitters is not gold. There's false doctrines tied up in stuff. There's false spirits talked up in stuff. There's just things that looks harmless that's not harmless. Lord, help us to make guidelines about things and set things in their proper order and not be asleep about this thing in 2017. Just fall asleep and all of a sudden I'm an old man now and I wake up and my family's all gone because I let tares in. And it's all destroyed. Lord, help us. There was I'm not sure if this was, I think this was Adam Clark. I'm not sure. It was one of the commentary writers. It's still talking about the prudent man. He considers well whether it is agreeable or is contrary to the perfection of God. You know what? We just go by our feelings. Just go by feelings. Well, I kind of feel like, you know, too many people just go by their, you know what? You can feel one thing now and 5 minutes later you can feel another. You don't go by your feelings. That's not very wise just to go by the way you feel about things. I hear that, oh, I felt this or felt that. I was talking to a guy one time. I thought it was I like kind of debating and talking scriptures. And I was talking to a guy about I was talking about the Sabbath day. The old Sabbath day. I was talking about that and he said, I said, well, this is what I believe. That was typical what the church would teach. And he said, well, I don't believe it. He said, I believe that it's all right to work on the Sabbath day, but he said, you couldn't take money for it. And I said, where'd you get that at? I mean, it's an all right opinion, but I thought we was talking scripture, so I was saying, well, scripture says this, and this verse is this, and this is the chain, and all this. And he said, well, I feel like it's all right to work on Sundays, you just couldn't take profit for it. Well, where'd you get that from? I just feel that way. All right? It's every man the way you feel. Well, I feel that's okay. I feel like it ain't. I feel like there's no guideline for it. You think that's really very safe to live your life by the way you feel about something? Well, I feel like that the Lord ought to think this way. I feel this way. Even though the Lord's ways is above my ways, His thoughts are above my thoughts, His ways above my ways, as far as the heaven is above the earth, but my feelings have to keep up with God. The way I feel about it have to get close. It's foolish. The devil wants to sow things in your feelings. He wants to sow in your feelings. This writer says, he considers well whether it is agreeable or contrary to the perfection of God. Is this leaning me more towards God's perfection or away from it? If I accept video, these movies and this, and I take in a little Hollywood and listen to a little bit of the music and stuff, does that get me closer to the perfection of God? Well, I feel like it does. No, you don't feel like it does. It doesn't. But we make decisions all the time. How are we going to live? What are we going to be? What is the church of God going to be a couple of decades from now? I pray that it's the same as it was 2 decades ago. That it has the same convictions of heart and it wants to follow and say, hey, if we need to critique things, just critique them. If we need to straighten up on something, let's straighten up on. If we've been too hard on something or too legalistic, let's get it right. Let's ask the Lord to help us and let's get it right, but let's not give up on this. Well, I just feel that way. Or this is this. No, I'm chasing the perfection of God. That is His love, His mercy, His kindness, His heart, His purity. Lord, help us. The prudent man thinks of this. Whether it takes away from the glory of any of the divine person, whether it makes for the magnifying the riches of God's grace, Does this represent Christ? What I'm doing, does this represent glory? When you speak of glory, usually talking about the honor as of a good opinion. You're talking about looking on and it being magnified. Do I speak to the world that's around me of a Christ that's this way? Let's just say the people around my world that I run into, if they would say, we know that that guy is a genuine Christ-like man, then what would I be telling them Christ was like? It's quite a challenge. I like to tell this story. I kind of like telling myself. We're going through the Walmart one day and Linda clips my heel with the buggies. I'm ahead of her and she has the shopping cart. She clips my heels with the buggy. Man, it hurt. They caught me right on the back of the ankles. And I turned around there. I turned around there, looked at her, and looked up, and there's these people looking at me. You know, I mean, come on, we don't hide that we're church people, right? And it just comes to me, you better be careful, you look holy. That's exactly what popped into my head. You better be careful, you look holy. Can't get by with this now. What's your attitude now about this? Well, it hurt, and I turned around with the, you know, you shouldn't have done that attitude. But listen, what are we showing? What are we showing the world that this is, I know he's a Christian, I know he's a Christ-like, that man's Christ-like, and so Christ does these certain things just like that he must go, that's the guy, I seen sneaking in the theater when the new movie was out. Yeah, that's what Christ does, he sneaks into theaters. That's the guy right there. Yeah, I saw that guy sneaking around. Yeah, that's a guy I was flirting around. That's him. Yeah, that's what Jesus does. Really? That's what we're saying when we do it. No, we make decisions to magnify our God. That ain't gonna magnify God. That's hypocrisy. Lord, help us. You know the devil wants to sow tares in your life. He wants to sow tares in with your Christian experience. He wants things to come in and wants to accept it sometimes. Bad behavior is not acceptable. There'll be times that we'll struggle with forgiveness, we'll struggle with bitternesses and those kind of things, but we need to know that they're tares. We need to say that they're tares. And Lord, help us to deal with that seed that the devil is trying to plant in there. It gets a good hold, oh, it's hard to get out of there. Most of it will go to judgment, I'll say that. It says, whether it makes for the magnifying the riches of God's grace and for the debasing of men. See the difference? You know what the devil wants, and one of the best things he got to do is to try to make each and every one of us feel more important than we are. It's one of his high marks because it's so easy to do. We all have a tendency to think self-important thoughts. We care for ourselves more than we care for others, and this is dealing with that. The devil would like for us to get the idea, and I run into this all the time, and there's a spirit that goes along with this. I hope there isn't anybody here guilty of that, but it's the truth anyway. There is people that get the spirit about them, and when they start really digging in that other people ought to be taking care of me, and woe is me, and the church isn't good, you can mark it down. It's a person that never cares for somebody else. Mark it down. If there's somebody that thinks that you ought to support them financially, support them by helping them, encouraging them, and doing all that thing, you check into their life and see where they ever reach out to help anybody. And everyone I ever met was always the same. There was always people that did not help anybody else, because if it's helping somebody else, they wouldn't have that spirit. They wouldn't be thinking that way. They'd be busy doing the things they should be glorifying God and reaching to God. They wouldn't care for their own poverty. They ought to trust God to take care of it. They would not be blaming. You start feeling a blaming spirit, folks, check that thing. That is a tear. That is a tear when you get a blaming spirit that, oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. You pray for them and march on for God. Bad. It's a tear. Devil wants to put that in me. Devil wants to come along and say, well, they didn't do this or they didn't. No, you get out of here and do that. Pray for them. Go on. Be faithful to the Lord. Lord, help us. It says, or for the depreciation of the one and the setting up of the other. Lifting up one, putting down the other. This is the idea of the prudent man. Always the prudent man watches his way carefully. Make sure that he's lifting up God and he's putting his flesh down. Paul said the same words. He said, I give myself a black eye. I put my body under. That lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. I put my own body down. I push me down, lift Christ up. Always in my life, lifting Christ up, pushing Marty down, always doing that. That'll keep the tares out of your life. I'm going to tell you where the tares are sown. They're sown in the hearts of carnality. Carnal hearts full of tares. Oh, I tell you, I had a meeting one time at home. We had a meeting and it was more of a school meeting than a church meeting, but it was some of us and it was this meeting and it was with carnal people. Oh my God. I come out of that meeting with my eyes crossed. Brother, you can't go anywhere with carnality. What are you going to say? Carnality has no rules. It has no guidelines that you can say, well, we ought to do this, you ought to do that. It has no basis for either. It's a carnal. I come away from this saying, how do you deal with carnal people? Terrible. You know, it's the same way God trying to deal with us. The scripture bears that out. God trying to deal with our carnal man. What can he do? There's no relationship there. There's nothing you can do about it. But change it to a spiritual man. Lord, help us to push the one up as we push the other down. And it says, whether it is a doctrine according to godliness or not, that it tends to promote holiness of heart and of life, or to indulge a loose conversation, and according to this criteria, he judges and determines whether he shall believe it or not. To me, that's just a beautiful idea. For somebody that cares for his soul. I'm going to look at it and I'm going to judge it according to whether it's going to bring godliness and goodness and right things in my life, or I'm going to judge it the other way. There is doctrines in this world that I the only thing I can do about them is say, I'll look at the fruit of it. And you can make claims of religion. You can say whatever you want to do that this religion does this or we're hopped up or great things are coming. I think I told this last Sunday too, but anyway, it was the time of the, I heard a guy telling about there was this revival. There was such a revival that the Lord came down in such a way that he literally broke the altar bits. The altar bits just snapped in two and people's bad teeth was being filled miraculously with gold fillings. I mean, I've heard a lot of stuff, so don't doubt this. I'm telling you, there's all this kind of stuff. And I said, okay, well, that's the testimony. But I don't care about any of that. None of that means anything to me. Was those people made better? Did they have a better heart? Were they better spiritually? Was they more forgiving, more loving, more kind? Did they have the fruits of the Spirit? So the wood breaks on the altar. Some kind of spirit may be doing something. Maybe we'd all be fascinated by that. But I wouldn't judge that to whether that was good or bad until I seen the hearts of the people. And you can tell it then, brother. Because you may claim the gift of the Holy Ghost is. So I'm going to tell you what the gift of the Holy Ghost is. It's living a holy life. Plain and simple. He'll bring a holy life with him. And he does it consistently. You say, well, I got the Holy Ghost and I can bring down fire. I can speak fire. I can do whatever. You better live a holy life because that's what the Holy Ghost does. And that's the judgments that we need to make when we're looking to say, what am I going to believe? What am I going to believe? What am I going to put my heart on? Am I going to believe that? Says the simple believes anything. I had a guy up home tell me, had a string around his daughter's neck and had a little piece of elderberry bark on the string. What's that? Oh, that cures him of croup. Really? Elderberry bark around your neck. Cures you of croup. That's a way of curing of croup. Well, me being critical and suspicious of mind, and I said, how's it do it? Well, I don't know. Do you breathe the fumes off of it? Does it absorb through the skin? No, I don't think it's anything like that. I said, then is it supernatural? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's something in it's an old wild fable. It's an old superstition of some kind. And I got it narrowed down to where? Now, if it's a spiritual matter, there's only two different powers to look at here. And God didn't say that. So what do you want to believe? You'll put your trust in a piece of elderberry bark? I'm not saying these people was evil. I'm just saying I don't put my trust in a piece of elderberry bark. I'm not going to. I'm not going to put my trust in that. Also, debate it where you want to, but if you, the world says that if you're a person that never met, if you never saw your father, you have the ability to blow into a baby's mouth that has thrash and they will be well. They've done that all the years I was up at home. The baby had all that thrash in their mouth. You take them to somebody that never seen their mother, they'd blow in their mouth and it'd be better in a moment. Hardly no time. Be better hardly no time. I say, how does it work and what does it have to do with not seeing your dad? But there's something got to do with it. It may even work, but it don't impress me because you ain't made better by it. And God didn't say you did it. And I happen to believe in the Lord. I believe in the one that sowed the good seed in the field. Sowed it in my heart, and I got a responsibility for that he put into my heart to hold that ground that it takes to grow what it needs to. And if I allow the devil to come in, whether it's through the entertainments of this world, the motions of this world, the things of this world, the education of this world, the things, whatever it is that I allow to come in, or if it's through religious ideas, if it's through superstitious ideas, through whatever it is, I'm going to be guilty. And there's going to be a tear grow up in my life. Lord, help us not to fall asleep. It said the promoting of holiness of heart and life, or to indulge a loose conversation. Now, Lord, help us, because we have a tendency as a church to trend kind of as the world goes. We're always better than they are. But the lower they go, is it the lower we go? We tend to do it. And the looser they get, the looser we get. We just don't get as loose as they do to justify ourselves. But Lord, help us to realize that we're not following the trends of the world. We're following the Spirit of the Lord. And He's gonna tend to levels. He's gonna tend to being the same God that He always is. Now, we'll have to make decisions in this lifetime. Lord, help us. Don't go to sleep. Wake up, Zion. Get out of your ease. Wake up and realize that eternity is at stake, and we can't afford to lose anything. I tell you, I fear losing it. I'll say, I don't know the answers to it all, but I fear losing it because I've been at it a while now, and it's different. The zeal of my youth is gone. Things are different now. It takes a little bit to get up and go. It takes a little bit and see some. Lord, help me not to lose. Help me not to lose. You pray for me. Amen.